So it's the holiday weekend, and I want to remind you briefly here about what Memorial Day is all about. I think most of us know, but a little history. We try to remember to celebrate those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice on Memorial Day. Sometimes we get a little confused because we kind of mix Memorial Day up with Veterans Day, and we recognize the veterans. I'm probably going to do that today, but a little different context for it, because they're not dead yet. Some of us may have lost family members in a war someplace along the line. Some of us may. I don't know if anybody can say, yeah, I had a family member that I was close to that I lost in the war, or a war. I really don't have that. I really never have had that. The closest thing that I can remember to somebody that I knew, and I really didn't know him, was my first grade teacher's son died in the Vietnam War. And when they brought him home, there was a big, massive funeral at the little town of Sugar Grove, because, you know, he was old enough that I was too little. I was in my early teens, but he was old enough that I really didn't have a connection to the guy. He had gone to the same school as me, but he'd graduated, you know, a long time ago. And I didn't know him. But I remember the effect on our community. They literally had the service at our football stadium to hold all the people. And it was pretty amazing. And everybody went. And that's the closest I've ever been to actually having someone that I knew die in the service. That's it. The reality is that probably most of us in this room haven't been very close to someone who died in the service in a war. We just haven't. Memorial Day was initially called, does anybody know what it was initially called? Decoration Day. Yeah. Yeah. And it came to exist after the Civil War, and by some accounts, it was actually started more by Civil War women and moms and wives. But then it caught on real fast, because it's understandable. And a lot of people were grieving after the Civil War. And so they would come out and decorate the graves of the soldiers. And by the way, it was the bloodiest war in our country's history, still, by far. In fact, I don't know if we've caught up to it yet or not, but at one point I remember reading a statistic that said more men died in the Civil War, more of our nation's men died in the Civil War than all the other wars put together. So that's pretty amazing to think about. And the population of our country was much smaller than it is today. So when they quote 620,000 plus men killed, you know, that's a big number. And it's nothing compared to the millions that have died in other wars altogether, but it's a big number in our country's history, especially, again, in with the number of people that were around at the time. And so I found this following information online. In 2011, demographic historian Dr. J. David Hacker, an associate professor of history at the University of Minnesota, published a census-based count of Civil War dead. In the scholarly quarterly report, Civil War History, reporting that his in-depth study of recently digitized census data concluded that more accurate estimates for the Civil War deaths is about 750,000, with a range from 650,000 to 850,000. So again, that is a big number of people, and I wanted to get it right. And despite the fact that many of you have been led to believe that, you know, there are hackers that aren't that smart, obviously there's one who's quite intelligent. Yeah, Lisa. She likes you better all the time, John. My point here is actually just to say that following the Civil War, almost every single person in our nation had a close relative, friend, some contact, somebody they knew well, who was killed in that war. Almost every person. Imagine that. Imagine all of a sudden in this room if all of us had somebody we were close to. And you can imagine how Memorial Day then got started. And it's kind of a good thing in a weird way, because that it's good that we don't have that experience, because that means we didn't have that experience. We're not having as many people killed in a war. It's a good thing. I'm glad most of us have not had that much up close and personal experience with the horrors of war. And I hope it becomes less and less. But it also means that our lack of experience also creates maybe a little bit of a lack of appreciation. We might have to work a little harder at it. You know, if and this happened with, and I've read about it, it happened with people in the Civil War. There would be, you know, dads and sons go off together and no one came back. Can you imagine how that was for the women left behind on the farms that were there trying to figure out what to do now? So, you know, we can imagine a little bit, but not fully, what they went through. And while I don't have anyone in my family who died in service of my country, I do have a history of service in my family. My dad was a veteran. My granddads, both of them on both sides, were veterans. Both my grandpas fought in World War II. Dad was in during the Korean conflict. And thankfully, they came through those things without any real problems. And so I appreciate the service of people who serve our country. By the way, is there anybody in here? I think we have a couple. You served? Lift your hand if you served. Yeah, one. One? I thought we had more than that. All right. Yeah, didn't Harold? Harold, you served in the Army, didn't you? Navy. Thank you, sir. What'd you serve in? Navy. Both my grandpas were Navy. My dad somehow ended up in the Army. I don't know. Anyway, thank you for your service. So let me ask you something. Do any of you know anybody who seems to take a lot of stuff for granted? Sometimes I think that's probably me. It's really easy to take things for granted, isn't it? It really is. Memorial Day in America has become more about having a nice day off by a long shot than it has about decorating the graves of soldiers. And again, most of us don't have a soldier's grave to go decorate. Just a thought. And by the way, I don't want to ruin your day off. So, you know, don't not enjoy the weekend. I do want you to enjoy it. I don't want to spoil it. But if we take a moment to remember, I think that's good for us as well. And I've seen some posts. A couple of people in the room, I think, have even posted about it. And I think that's good. And what I think actually happens is when we remember and recognize what it really means, we gain something. So the holiday is a good holiday, and it's a fun holiday, but it's actually something where we gain something else about it. When we think about and remember stuff that's important, we gain something by that memory. And I think that's true about almost everything that we should remember. And that got me thinking about memories, and I've done this before. I preach on memories and make us to think about the things that we sometimes forget, because we do forget, don't we? We just do. We get sidetracked. We get busy. So in taking a moment to remember, I think we can get an example from a Bible character who talked to us about not forgetting. And so as we talk about the idea, the message today, never forget, in Psalm 103, we see some interesting things. So I'm going to take this a verse at a time, just to kind of pull some things for us as believers. It won't be a super patriotic message, but it will help us to understand the value of remembering. And when we remember well, we benefit from it. Psalm 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not, everybody say, forget not his benefits. See, there's value in not forgetting. There's value in remembering the things that are important. Sometimes we have to talk to ourselves. I like talking to me because I enjoy intelligent conversation. I thought I'd get more laughs. I was just a little over here, and that was about it. David is talking to himself in this psalm. That's what I like. I can identify with David a lot. As a young man, I didn't have sheep to play in front of, but I would sit outside and strum on a guitar and croon a few tunes, you know. And I always liked David. I always related to David. And David is talking to himself, and I thought, yep, I relate to that too. And so in talking to himself and in giving himself a directive to not forget, he gave himself some reasons to bless the Lord. So sometimes you just kind of got to grab yourself by the shirt and say, hey, don't forget. Bless the Lord. And there are times when you really need to do that when it's not easy to do. There's so much else going on, or maybe you're not even in the mood for it. And sometimes when you're not in the mood for it, it's the best time to just grab yourself and say, hey, Tim, come on, man. Bless the Lord. So we have reasons to bless the Lord. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. Right there, I can just quit. Yeah, I could. He forgives all your iniquities. Wow. That's awesome. How many of you use the word iniquities? Yeah, I was thinking probably that, like, you don't have opportunities to say iniquities a lot in the modern language. It's only in the Bible. It's your shortcomings, your faults. It's not just your super big sins. It's just the stupid stuff that happens. It's, you know, sometimes you just have to say, hey, I am thankful the Lord overlooks my stupidity. He does. And you remember, I told you this, I even quoted this to someone this week. Driving right down this road in front of us here, got in town where it becomes Baltimore, and I'm driving down the road, and I was on my way back from, I stopped by the church on my way back from Fort Wayne, and I'm driving right down that section. I think that's where I was at the time. It's my memory, that's how I recollect it. But I forget sometimes. But I said, oh Lord, I was having a tough day. I just hadn't had the best interactions with people and things, and I wasn't sure I'd done things right. My iniquities had caught up with me, my shortcomings. And I said, Lord, I'm glad you love me when I'm stupid. And he goes, oh, I have to love you when you're stupid. Otherwise, I'd never get to love you. And God speaks my love language, which is sarcasm. And I just really appreciated that. You know, he forgives all of our iniquities, all of the stuff that we do. And if you're beating yourself up, if you're beating yourself up for the places that you come up short, really, you're doing something that God doesn't even want to do. You ever think about that? Do I want to do what God himself has no desire to do by beating myself up for where I'm less than what I wish I was? That's a dumb idea. And by the way, I've been thinking about this. There might be a whole sermon on it later. But do you know that God actually loves you not only more than anybody, but he actually loves you more than you love you? Like, whatever you think would be great for you, God loves you more than whatever great thing you can dream up for you. Like, you've got this idea of how, wouldn't it be great if I had this or that or the other? And God loves you more than that. He loves you more than you can imagine to love you. So don't beat up yourself. You've been doing that, stop it. Next he says, who heals all your diseases. Everybody say all. Wow. All. We had all twice here. All your iniquities and all your diseases. Somebody says, well, I've been struggling with something. Yeah, I know. I know. A lot of us have struggled with stuff from time to time. Sometimes we struggle with it for a long time. I think this is why we need to tell our souls to bless the Lord even more. We need to, in the midst of the battle, in the midst of the struggle, grab that, you know, grab that shirt, pull ourselves in, and remember that it's His desire to bless us. It's His desire to heal us. It's His desire to do good things in our lives. And trust Him in it. I don't know that I can always understand it. I can't explain it for sure, so I clearly don't understand it. I know people that are going through some really hard things, and I wish I could give them a good example or an explanation of whatever it is they're doing that they need to change, or whatever it is God's doing that they don't need to change, and He's doing something. I don't know. I don't have an answer all the time. But I know that He wants to bring healing to my life. Verse 4, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. I think we need to remember that God has good things for us. We just need to constantly remind ourselves. Hey, soul, come on. Hey, Tim. Hey, God has good things for you. It's really easy to get negative. And we need to remember what God's done for us and what He wants to do for us, and be blessed. Verse 5, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. How many of you have already had your mouth satisfied with good things this weekend already? How many of you are expecting to have your mouth satisfied with good things tomorrow? Yeah, some of you got plans. Maybe this afternoon, depending on what your family does and when they do it. My wife has plans for me tonight. But I'm having youth, so just so there. this afternoon, yeah, she's like, you can plant some more plants this afternoon, can't you? I don't know, what's the temperature going to be? Lovely. Perfect time for planting. You guys are not helping. Yeah, I'm wearing the gardening pants this afternoon, that's right. And He wants to renew my youth. I like to hear that these days. Yeah, the more I hear that, you know, those numbers that put me in the area of retirement, I really like to hear that He wants to renew my youth. I really do. I'm just going to get renewed. I'm just going to claim that one for myself. Verse 6, the Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Everybody say all. You know, we may not see some justice that we think we ought to see in our lifetimes. We were having some of this discussion with some folks recently. I want to see justice. I want to see the right thing done. There are some things that have happened the last few years especially that seem out of kilter and not right and not just. And I want to see that. And then I have to remember, I am going to see it. And the context that I see it in, whenever I see it, will be the context that God wants to put it in. And the context that God wants to put it in is God's choice and God's, I don't know, smarter than me. I know that's hard to believe, but He really is. And so when God chooses to execute His justice, and however He chooses to do that, the impact of that will be according to what it should be. Some of us think we know some people who have gotten away with some stuff. Anybody besides me, if I say that, you right away you're thinking, justice should come, that person should. You know, if they paid in the court of humanity and the whole world knew it, well, first of all, there's no way the whole world would know it. How many of you know there are people who don't know what in the world's going on? They live off in far places and they pay no attention to all the craziness in the world today. They are just living their lives. But even if everybody was to, or a large portion of the world were to see some unjust leader brought down, it would be nothing compared to what God will do when the whole universe is sitting there watching. And God brings justice. So I know He will. Verse 7, He made known His ways to Moses, His acts to the children of Israel, The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. Everybody say abounding. There's another word you use every day. We need that God. We need to remember that God has plenty, and He's not holding back. No good thing will He withhold. God's got plenty. It's going to be all right. That abundance is not going to be held back forever or even for long in God's grand scheme of things. And I know that we're used to the microwave age where everything gets done really quick. And it's hard for us to imagine what some of the saints in history have had to wait on and the patience they've had to display. It's beyond me to even think about what it was like for Abraham, for example, to wait a quarter of a century for a promise that he was given. I haven't had to wait that long for any promises God's given me. Just saying. When God does have to bring correction, it's His nature to do things in a good way. And He does everything for our good. Look at verse 11. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is His mercy toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. I love that east from the west thing. You know, there's the street in front of the church. That's east. And that's west. And it just keeps going and going and going and going. Somebody says, well, it goes all the way around the world. I don't know that it has to be that way. Infinity is what they were thinking when they wrote this down, when God inspired this. As far as the heavens are above the earth, they couldn't get anywhere near the heavens above the earth. It was beyond their comprehension how far away that was. Now we have an idea, but then it was way beyond anything they could imagine. Have you ever thought about how far it is that God's gotten rid of all the stupidity in your life? Well, it's not far enough because I keep bringing it back. Anybody besides me? Yeah, I know. I know. Verse 13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear Him. For He knows our frame. He remembers that we are but dust. One little kid was in Sunday school one time. He came home and told his parents. They said, what'd you learn in Sunday school? And he said, I learned that we are but dust. Not even sure what that looks like, but I'm not going to go there. Look at somebody next to you and say, you are kind of pitiful sometimes. Just to tell them that. The Lord pities. You are kind of pitiful. Listen, God knows our weaknesses, and it will never hinder His greatness. God knows our weaknesses, and it will never hinder His greatness. He's not going to be slowed down. Verse 15, as for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to such as keep His commandment, and to those who remember His covenants or commandments to do them. What I get from this section is just God never quits. God just never quits. Like, God's not going to quit. He's not going to stop. He's not going to stop being God. He's not going to stop doing what God does. And He's going to just keep, no matter how our lives go, He's going to keep trying to bless us. He's going to keep trying to give us good things. He's going to keep His covenant. He's going to bless us. So even when we reach the end of all that we have, somehow He has more. Even when we've reached the end of everything we think we can do and everything that we think matters, it's not over until God says it's over. He just keeps going. Verse 19, the Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. We talked about his kingdom a little bit last week and seeking his kingdom and wanting to see his kingdom come as will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And ultimately it will. Nothing's going to stop that. And if we will just live in his kingdom, we will thrive. I just know that's where I got to focus my life. Just keep trying to let that kingdom come in me and his will of God be done. The will of God be done in me. Now listen to how this psalm ends. And listen to David's declarations. And so I don't imagine this was, you know, kind of a weak thing when David put it into music. In fact, I'd love to hear what David's music was like around this, because the psalms were, you know, put to music. And I'd like to hear how this ended as he went, "Bless the Lord, you his angels." Wow. "Who excel in strength and do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, you ministers of him who do his pleasure." And by the way, that's not just talking to me, ministers. That's talking to all God's people who are ministers of the Lord, and that's talking to heavenly beings that I'm not even sure we have a track for at this point. But they were being told, "Bless the Lord." I wonder what David saw, by the way, during some of his times of worship. I wonder what visions he had of heaven that made him say these kind of things. "Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion." Bless the Lord. Back to the guy behind the shirt. "Bless the Lord, soul. Come on, my soul. Bless the Lord." It's so easy sometimes to just grumble and complain and whine and everything else. But what does the smart guy do in the Bible? What does he tell us to remember to do? Don't forget his benefits. Bless the Lord. We have so much to be thankful for. And there's so much that David takes authority and speaks to. He speaks to powerful entities in this scripture. He speaks to the powerful. And then he speaks to his own soul. And I have a question for you. Is your soul a powerful entity? It's just a really good thought, isn't it? Is my soul a powerful entity? Or is my soul just not worth worrying about? I believe it is. I believe that you are powerful. And so we need to remember that, and we need to remember who God says we are. And we've said this a lot in this church, but I'm going to have you say it again today. Repeat after me. I am who he says I am, and I can do what he says I can do. I am who he says I am, and I can do what he says I can do. And what did he say? "The works that I do, you'll do also, and greater, because I go to the Father." If Jesus did it, we can do it. So, I just simply want to say, never forget. Never forget. Really important that we make every effort to never forget. And on this weekend, as maybe some of you will be thinking about those who fought, died, never forget. And on this weekend, as some of you are trying to get a wiener off of the grill and you drop it on the floor, dust it off, put it back on the plate, never forget which one it was and you eat it. How many of you have a 5-second rule? Never mind. And what I'm basically saying is it's just important that we remember his benefits and we remember how good it is. And quite honestly, if you're an American, especially, man, we have so much to be thankful for. And I know there are some frustrating things going on right now, but I'm going to remember how good God is to me and how blessed I am to be who I am and where I am and how God put me here for a reason. And that's really true no matter who it is or who would hear this message anywhere in the world. God has a reason for having you where you are, and he loves you, and he's going to do something great for you. And no matter what we're in the middle of, God knows. So don't forget. Don't forget. Let me just pray over you. Bow your heads. Lord, you're good at reminding us of all your goodness. And we're bad sometimes at really paying any attention to that, but we are. We are, Lord, a blessed people. And so help us to turn in response and bless in response the way that we should. Help us to be like David and never forget what you've done for us and never forget how blessed we are and never forget that you're right there with us through everything until the final day of our lives, and then we'll be with you for eternity. And so we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.